Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. Please give it a look. You'll see all these radio programs and MP3 files that can be downloaded. There's a host of Bible-related videos on different subjects that are 30 minutes in length that you can download, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We want to simply show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son who died that you might be set free from sin. We are looking at the bread of life. We are looking at the different aspects of the life of Christ here on earth through the Gospels. And today we begin the part of His public ministry that begins with His temptation. And so we want to begin this morning by reading from Luke chapter 4 and the first 13 verses. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only thou shalt serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You can also read of the accounts of the temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. We should address the reality of what our Lord faced here. The temptations were real. Having taken upon himself humanity, he felt the temptations just like we do. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the scripture says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Those who argue that Jesus was God and did not feel the temptations the way we do miss this point entirely. No one knows temptation to the extent that Jesus did. At some point, all of us give in and succumb to it. Jesus reached that point and went beyond, never failing. Do we want to know how to endure temptation? Look to the one who experienced it at its zenith and never gave in, never yielded to it. By combining Matthew and Luke's account, we know that immediately following his baptism, Jesus was led in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Was Jesus tempted throughout the 40 days, or did the temptation not come until after the fast had ended? Matthew certainly makes it appear that the temptations occurred during the fast. Mark and Luke appear to make it continuous. I believe that Jesus believed that during the 40 days of temptation of various kinds were presented to Jesus, with three specifically mentioned coming after the fast and being representative of them all. The first recorded temptation, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. This brings to mind the lust of the flesh that John wrote about in 1 John 2 and verse 16. Jesus was hungry. Would he use his miraculous power in a selfish way? He quotes Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. He resorted to God's word, the source of all answers in temptations. The most important is not physical in nature, it is spiritual. The second temptation, according to Matthew, Luke places it third, Jesus was taken to a high pinnacle to the temple and told, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. This calls to mind John's words of 1 John 2, verse 16, the pride of life. The temptation, through the misuse of the scripture, was to tempt Jesus to endanger his life for no other purpose than to prove protection of him, of and close communion with the Father. Jesus again responds with the scripture, quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. The third temptation, the second in Luke, the devil took Jesus to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This happened in a moment of time, showing the supernatural nature of what was taking place. If Jesus were to worship Satan, he would give the Lord all that he could see. This brings to mind the lust of the eyes. Jesus once again answers with scripture, this time Deuteronomy 6:13. This terrible period of trial and testing at an end, the angels came and administered to him. Now, one of the things I want to point out in these temptations that we need to be very mindful of is that Jesus was tempted in all ways like you and I can be tempted. I want us to read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. In John's account, we are looking at the three avenues of sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. This is the road and the avenues that all sin goes down. Any sin you want to talk about travels one of these three ways. Jesus was exposed to all the avenues of sin. Now, men have argued and tried to minimize what Jesus said by asking ridiculous questions. Was Jesus tempted to commit fornication? Was he tempted to be a homosexual? Was he tempted to drink alcohol? Was he tempted? Was he tempted to do other immoral things? He was tempted in every avenue as we are: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Now, we're all tempted in those avenues too. Do we all have the same temptation? No. We have a different temptation due to our circumstance and maybe our weaknesses, but we're all tempted. And we're all tempted in those three ways. Jesus was tempted in all those three ways. Now, some take issue with the temptation of putting him on top of the mountain and letting him looking at the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Say, well, that really wasn't a temptation because he created all of that and he was going to receive all that when he went back to heaven. Yes, but you do not understand why Satan presented that temptation. He was giving Jesus an opportunity to shortcut the cross. He would not have to wait to be exalted. He would not have to go through the anguish and the turmoil and the terribleness of the cross. He could bypass all that by simply worshiping Satan. He would not have to endure the cross. He did not yield. The difference between Jesus and us is that he was tempted in all areas like we are, yet he did not yield to the tempter. He did not yield to the temptation. He said no. Now, it is also significant for us to understand that how he got out of the temptation. In all three accounts, he answered with Scripture. He took the Bible and he answered with the truth. And so why did he do that? He did that because that's the way you and I will overcome sin. We will say no. We will not yield. And we will use God's word and his truth to recognize sin, to know how what it's trying to do to us, to try to keep us from being right with God. And we will see it for what it is. And we will say no. And we will follow the path of truth and do that which is right. You see, the truth is something that Satan does not have an answer for. He doesn't have any way to get around that. And so again, Jesus did this example of overcoming sin and not yielding and the temptation by referring to the truth. Why? Because that's exactly how you and me must react if we want to overcome the temptations in our life. But what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that you are going to be tempted. I am going to be tempted. We're not going to escape temptation. But it is a choice that we must make whether or not we yield to the temptation. Now, this understanding that some have, even in the Lord's church, that Jesus couldn't have sinned even if he wanted to sin because he was going to be the sinless sacrifice. So really, he couldn't sin even if he wanted to, or he really wasn't tempted. That is false. And men tried to show this by James chapter 1 and verse 12 following, that God cannot be tempted with evil. Since God cannot be tempted with evil, Jesus wasn't tempted. That's the way the argument goes. Well, here's the mistake they make. I can reconcile James 1 and verse 12 and 13 with Hebrews 4 and 15 because he was tempted as man. He was not tempted as God. Men get hungry. They need physical food. That's why he tempted him with turning the stones into bread. He tempted him with the pride of life. There would be no reason to tempt Jesus as the Son of God. Since he's the Son of God, that would be no temptation to God. And then the other temptation of being able to escape the cross, that is the lust of the eye. And so, again, Jesus went down every avenue that you and I can go down in temptation that we could be confronted with. And it's not a sin to be tempted. What's a sin is when we yield, when we give in, when we fail our test. Jesus did not yield. He did not succumb. He did not allow Satan to deceive him, to mislead him, or to lead him to transgress God's law and to commit sin. He lived above sin. He chose not to give in, not to yield. You and I have the same choice. And the example of Jesus tells us that all sin will go down these avenues. We will be tempted, but we do have the ability to say no and to not yield to temptation. The fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, tells us that we do sin because we do yield. We do succumb because we don't use the available strength and the things that God gives us in order for us to just say no. Jesus said no. You and I need to learn and commit ourselves to say no and not yield to sin, because that's what our Lord did as an example. Thank you.